CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
For Inside Carolina, this is Taylor Viplis, and as always, I'm joined by Tar Heel letterman and current radio analyst for the Heels, Deems May. Deems, UNC coming off a very tough loss against Virginia, and it was almost a loser leaves town for the ACC Coastal, so you know the Heels are upset that they didn't get this done. What were your overall thoughts from the UVA game?
Prior to the game, I think we always do a keys to the game, and I was – my key to the game was, how do we handle finally winning a close game? How do we handle success? Do we become complacent, or, you know, do we come out and play really hard and try to build on it, and with everything at stake in the Coastal, how do we respond? And as I was going through, you know, just kind of thinking about the game afterwards, I thought we responded well. I think everything just kind of pointed to fatigue, especially on the defensive front seven. I just, for the first time this year, I saw some tired legs out there. I saw just a lack of bounce, and a lot of our guys that we needed to step up, with exception of Chas Surratt. That guy's amazing. His legs are fresh. He's everywhere. He's incredible. But I just thought up front, defensive line wise, we were finally tired, and we were dead legged. And you rarely find a time where anybody would say an open date came at the right time. But you know where they don't say it came at the right time. They always seem to come at the right time. But this is a tired team, and you can't blame it, especially on the defensive side. There's just too many snaps going on right now. And it just goes back to the premise of what we've been talking about, and that's Coach Brown building depth and having to be able to rotate these guys in where we got no pressure on the kid. I know he got the ball out fast, but he's not a 30 for 39 guy. He's just not. He's a great athlete and a great quarterback and a playmaker, but he's not a 30 for 39 guy at all. And we just looked a little out of sync on defense and really tired legged is what I thought.
Yeah, I agree with you. This felt like the first game where Jason Strobridge and Aaron Crawford didn't have the impact that we're used to seeing, where they're just dominating in their usual way. If you're North Carolina, besides just having these guys rest during the bye week, is there anything you can do to kind of counter the high snaps? Because these are still guys that for these next three games, UNC needs on the field in these big moments.
I mean, you got, you know, rest is rest. You know, ice tubs, hot tubs, contrast baths, everything you can. But, you know, you got to maintain strength in there. So you have to do lifting. And I trust Brian Hest to have the right lifts in there. I doubt we're going to do any heavy squatting. But we've got to maintain strength, and we've got to get some legs back under us up front for sure. I don't know. I don't have my roster with me right now, Taylor, but 51 came in for Crawford a little bit and really got some penetration. We've got to start trusting some of these guys to get some reps in here on these last few games. But, again, given the time off, and it's not a full bye week when you play on Thursday, but it's still much needed. And I think you have to really limit their reps in practice and do what you can in the weight room to maintain strength, but get a little bit of bounce back in their legs, because they got blocked up front and they just were playing high, and you just didn't hear their names at all. And the two guys that we depend on most. And I just think it's a product of all these close games and all these reps.
Besides tired legs, like you mentioned, UVA they were getting the ball out fast, kind of neutralizing Carolina's pass rush. And they were just going to the same – they found what was working, and they just kept going to it over and over again, basically scoring at will. So besides the tired legs, what do you think went wrong for this team on defense?
We still haven't – you know, the thing that's impressed me the most about our defensive backs, getting through these injuries are how well they're covering. And before anybody jumps up and says anything, they are covering guys. And if you've not followed Carolina football the last 4 or 5 years, we used to have guys running so wide open down the middle of the field, you could punt the ball and we wouldn't have anybody around them. So we've gone from having people running wide open down the middle of the field, catching long touchdown passes, to them having to throw these back shoulder throws that our guys have just not adjusted well to yet. And it's a lot of youth. It's got some talent issues in it. It's got length issues in it. But, I mean, they are in the right spot. Dre has done a great job of getting them in the right spot. Now they have to have confidence. Now they got to be able to grab their wrist, you know, right there before the ball gets there. Now they got to be able to feel when that ball's coming on that back shoulder, because the last two games there's been 30 back shoulder throws probably. I may be exaggerating a little, but probably not much. And these 50-50 balls, we haven't been winning. We start winning these 50-50 balls with these guys, and they get a little confidence in these last three games, and then we're going to be okay. But we're going to see 20 more back shoulder throws next Thursday night, and we're going to see them every time until we stop them. And if you're getting the ball out quick and you got dead leg defensive linemen, then that's your recipe for 38 points, and that's where we were struggling, the back shoulder throw and the 50-50 balls and no pass rush.
Switching to offense, the drops were still an issue for the wide receivers with 5 drops, but offensively, I thought UNC played well enough to win that game. In my opinion, they were going score for score with Virginia late in that game. How impressed were you with the offense, specifically with Sam Howell and with UNC's running backs and with a guy like De'Ami Brown, who became just the 7th player in UNC history to have over 200 receiving yards in a game?
You know me, I'm a run the ball guy first, just to set up that pass, and was so pleased with how we ran the ball. I just tell you, they were getting their 8 and 9 yard clips on back shoulder throws, and we were getting ours on just straight counter plays, pulling guards, pulling tackles, getting out in front and just pounding them. And that's so much more high percentage. And if we can continue to do that, we'll be okay. Sam Howell, I mean, when you can run it like that, then you're getting the play action where they've got to bring that other guy in the box and play man, and our wide receivers are dynamic enough to get behind them and make plays. And Sam's deep ball is just improved so much. His pocket presence, we've talked on ad nauseum, and I'm not going to keep pounding that, but man, he's just a player, and he's just a cool cat in the pocket, and he finds the right guy and steps up in there. But you know, we've had too many drops, and the drops came critically times. You know, you think about the 4th down when we went for it, that would have been a great catch by Bo Corrales, and then the ball went through his hands. And then we had, you know, the last play of the game, a 4th down that would have been a great catch. But man, when it hits your hands, you got to make plays, and we didn't there. You know, and that's kind of the first time where we've had a chance to go down with enough time and good field position where it didn't pan out. And we've talked about it week in and week out. We can't continue to get a true freshman to bail us out, because they're going to be good. You know, good teams were playing, and those guys were good, and we can't have drops in critical plays. But on the flip side, they made huge plays to keep us in the game. And at the end of the day, 31 points is enough to win a football game. It should be plenty enough to win a football game. And this game goes back onto the defense and what we talked about in the earlier segment. So really pleased with the running game, really pleased with Sam again, really pleased with the big plays dynamically. But we're just not good enough to drop balls in critical spots. And we just don't have enough depth. And that has been a big problem. These drops have been, and you know, we corrected them after we had some drops last time. So these kids are young. They got to realize that every catch, not just that long touchdown pass, every catch counts, and the concentration has to be there for a 6-yard hitch, as good as it's been for 55-yard over the shoulder catches that they've made. So they definitely have the hands to catch the ball. They just need to be more consistent again and concentrate on the ones that may aren't the biggest plays of the game.
Going along with the drops and with the defensive performance, my main takeaway from listening to the players post game was that they knew they just wasted a great opportunity in front of them. Like you mentioned, you score 31 points and you put up 500 yards, similar to the Virginia Tech game. Mack Brown is trying to raise the standard of football here in Chapel Hill, and these are just games that you have to win if you put up these kind of offensive performances, right?
Yeah, I tell you, but again, we hadn't won any games, you know, 5 games in 2 years. So, I mean, let's not forget about where we were a year ago when we were just getting, you know, where we just couldn't find a way to win a game at all. Now we're in a position where we've been competitive in every game, almost to the point where it's really been detrimental to the you know, our team. Is our games have been so close, and we've had no breathers, and we've had six overtime games, and all these games have come down to one score, and it just kind of caught up with us. And yeah, you got to be able to win that, but you have to take that first step. That first step wasn't winning nine games, Taylor. The first step was getting the bowl eligibility and having a shot at the Coastal, and we've done that. And that Coastal shot's probably out the window, but the number one goal of taking a team that won two games last year and getting to a bowl is still there. And this open week can give us enough time to come back and play a Pitt team that's going to throw back shoulders and is going to have a really good, you know, defense coming after you and is going to be hungry because they have not beaten us in forever. So the goals are still there, and that's how you got to just start looking forward and getting ready to find a way to win two of these last three and get to a bowl game, and then you just get on to the recruiting trail and start building some depth, because we really are lacking depth, and that's costing us late in ball game.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can remind everyone about Johnny T-Shirt. Family and alumni owned and operated, Johnny T-Shirt is your go-to shop for Carolina apparel. They've still got all your football gear that you could want, but now basketball season is here, and they've got you covered there as well, including the official fan T-shirt of the 2019-2020 North Carolina basketball season. I'm looking at it now. It's a Jordan brand T-shirt with the state outline. It says Carolina Family on the back. Pretty cool shirt. I'm going to add it to my cart right now. If you're going to be in Chapel Hill for a game, be sure to stop by Johnny T-Shirt right on Franklin Street to get all your Carolina gear. And don't forget, Inside Carolina subscribers save 10% off their orders. All right, let's get back to Deems. Another thing that it feels like we could talk about every week, the ACC referees. I don't normally have a problem with referees, or I don't normally like talking about referees, as long as I feel like, you know, they're calling a bad game for both sides. But Saturday, it felt like they didn't even know they were allowed to penalize Virginia. They missed that pass interference on one deep ball to, I believe, Daz Newsome.
Tackled him.
Yeah. And then there's just no way their offensive line didn't commit one holding penalty. I think on the Perkins long run, you could see a couple UNC players get held. So I know this is your sweet spot, and I'm going to tee you up for it. What were your thoughts on the referees on Saturday?
I don't have any problem talking about ACC refs, and I think everybody else around in the league knows. I mean, Mr. John Swafford has a problem right now, and it's with ACC refs, and you can ask any team. But the thing that I've always gone back to, and I truly believe this, and North Carolina, the University of North Carolina, if you take a lie detector and ride down – right down the middle of the state, and you selectively pick random people off the side of the road, North Carolina, there will be nobody that is objective towards North Carolina. Not one person, if you put that lie detector on them, will be objective. They either, if you say, hey, do you like Carolina? And they say yes, and they like Carolina, they'll be fine. If you say, hey, what do you think about North Carolina? They say, I don't like them at all. And then the lie detector will show they're not lying. If you get somebody right down there and you say, hey, what do you think of Carolina? And they say, I don't have a feeling one way or another, then that lie detector is going to go off the charts. And there's no objectivity towards North Carolina. So I'm not saying these refs are crooked. I'm not saying anything else. I'm just saying there is no objective opinions on our university in this state. And most of these referees are from around here. And I'm not saying they're consciously making bad calls, but there's an opinion about North Carolina out everywhere, whether it's basketball opinion or whether they think we got away with murder with the NCAA or whatever. But these refs have got an opinion on North Carolina when they step on those field. And right now, you cannot tell me that there's not been one hold by an opposing team since the Miami game. And until we get to address that, and the coach we have right now, I know he's putting together some film, and I know he's putting these stats to him, but there's a problem right there. And it just feels like, the holding calls, I've seen a million of them. And then both teams hold. We hold every play, they hold every play. But what makes them decide they're going to call the one, you know, where a guy pancakes him at Virginia Tech when we're getting ready to run the ball right in the end zone, and then they don't call anything all week. We finally get a long run, and they call a hold against us this week. It's just the timing and everything. There's just too many coincidences. I'm not a big believer in all these coincidences, and I'm not a big believer that this stuff has not happened one time since Miami, that we have not gotten a call. Now, how do you combat it? You can't do anything about it as a player, but you send it in But there's something that's got to be done. I finally just about lost it when their DB tackled our receiver right in front of me. There was nobody within anywhere, and the ball lands 6 yards if he'd kept running into the end zone, and they say his feet got tangled. I mean, it's just to the point where this really has to be addressed. And I tell you what they ought to do. I don't know what we can do, but I hope our athletic director and our coach are sending in there. We got to find out where these referees that are making these calls. We got to find out what's going on with them, you know, during the week. So I have no idea what it is, why they don't, but there's no objective opinion of the University of North Carolina. And I totally believe that. And subconsciously, there may be just some people who just don't like us, but it is what it is. That didn't cost us the Coastal by any means, but man, it's just too coincidental that there's not been one holding call. And our holding calls have been just at the most inopportune times. And when you tackle somebody in the open field in front of 60,000 people and millions watching TV, and they all look at each other and at the same time decide no flag, I've had enough of it. But I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, I don't know the answer to that. Go back and watch our game with South Carolina. And we had SEC refs. You want to see a team that, you want to see a game that was called? Go back and watch that. Cleanest refereed game I've ever seen. And I guess is we're not paying them enough or something, but something's got to be done. I know that was a long rant, but I'm glad I got it off my chest.
Where do you think this team's mindset is heading into the bye week? Because they've just had emotionally taxing games week after week right now.
Yeah, I tell you, again, a great time for it to happen. I'm not a big Thursday night fan. I think it's fun sometimes, but you certainly would like to have it on that following Saturday. But I get it. I know Coach Brown will handle them right. I know the last 3 weeks have to be emotionally taxing. They'll do some fun stuff. I don't know what it'll be. You know, some team activities. They'll get some time off. And, you know, they just got to look at each other. I tell you, this team – I've never seen, and for somebody that hasn't been day to day, you know, but I've been around a lot of great teams, and the teams we went to the Super Bowl, we like to really hang out with each other after practice, whether it's playing dominoes or video games or whatever, or calling barbecue in. But these teams that like each other a lot, and I have a feeling this North Carolina team's, you can just see it and you can feel it and how much fun they're having and how they hang in there tight and how they bounce back from tough losses. And they're going to be okay. It's just a matter of, are we healthy enough? Do we get some of these guys back? And I just know that mentally they'll be okay for this. Now, are their legs going to come back? I hope so. But, you know, that's just something we have to build in the future with depth. But mentally they'll come back sharp because they know what's at stake. These seniors haven't been to a bowl game and they're the leaders and they'll step up and we'll be ready to play. I just have a feeling that if we don't make a bowl, it's not going to be because we didn't play well. It's because we got beat fair and square by two teams.
From your college and your professional days, was it tougher to go into a bye week after a loss or after a win? Because I always felt like when we lost before a bye, we wanted to get back on the field as soon as possible, where this team, you know, they might be looking forward to the bye to get some of these guys back and to kind of get their legs under them.
Yeah, see, pro and college are so different. You know, business-wise, in the pros, if you're not ready to play every week, and you got a couple drop balls or you miss tackles, you're gone. You know, they're going to cut you. So you're mentally, you got to be so much tougher mentally when you get to the NFL. And in college, it's just, you know, where are you with school? How are your grades going? What do you have, you know, going as far as classes? And then you got to get this going. So any kind of break where you can have a day off and kind of get caught up on everything, get some legs back under you, get some light lifting in, I think it doesn't really matter if it's a win or a loss. It always is probably tougher after a loss because you got to wait that much longer to get back on the field and redeem yourself. And that's why I'm saying you only have 12 shots and you can't come out, you know, dead mentally or, you know, physically, I thought our legs were dead. Mentally, I thought we were ready to play. And hopefully both of those will pop back before next Thursday.
Okay, let's take one last quick break for a word from our sponsors.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Okay, we're back. Your goal all along has been for UNC to get to a bowl game this year. So to get there, what are you looking for the Tar Heels to accomplish in these final 3 games?
Well, just getting there. I don't care if it's Detroit or Shreveport or what it is. If you have a chance to get some guys some reps in practice, you get a little more time, have the seniors be able to enjoy, you know, the bowl gifts and the camaraderie, and have everybody that's contributed so much to this year and the excitement and the momentum to be able to look forward to one more game, regardless of where it is a plus. And you've got, you know, 3 chances to win 2 ball games and get there. And you've got to do everything you can, whether you're beat up or not, get out there. And hey, if it's 3rd and 4 and you run a 5-yard route, you got to concentrate on catching that ball and keeping the chains moving. Or if you need one more step to get to the quarterback, you got to go. And there's only 3 more chances to do that, or you're going to be sitting home after Thanksgiving. And that's a long time to wait until next August when we go to Atlanta.
Now, UNC, they didn't get the win on Saturday, but I just wanted to take a moment to kind of appreciate the fans at Keenan Stadium. 5 straight sellouts. They're showing up in forces this year. They're making noise. The atmosphere has been night and day from the past couple of years. What has been your thoughts on the crowd this year?
Yeah, just incredible. Just such a night and day. I mean, and it really starts with the students. I mean, it's rare the last 3 or 4 years that our student section was halfway filled. And now it's totally full, you know, 30 minutes before the game because they want to be there. And then our other fans have stepped up and bought season tickets. And we've got to be close to another sellout with Mercer. What great way to – and these recruits, the first thing you see, you know, and when you read something about a recruit is, man, that atmosphere was live, or that – I mean, that place was so happening. It was so loud. And we've had all sides of every time. There was another crowd-induced penalty. Maybe it was a delay of game or something. They only had 1 penalty, but there were some things that happened with the crowd that were so good in the last few games. And it all started with Miami, and the atmosphere has been it. Like we talked about, I think 3 weeks ago before we beat Duke, the crowd's been there. It's time for the players to step up and make a play, and they did it against Duke, and it got everybody excited against Virginia. And people see, whether the fans see it, our fans, or everybody else, they see what's building here, and they come and they want to see it. And Keenan has been rocking, and that just a great – and Coach Brown on the post-game interviews, the first thing, hey, thanks to the crowd, thanks to the student section, you guys have brought it all year. We've got one more chance to send these seniors out against Mercer, and what a great way that would be to say, hey, to every recruit, they use the narrative of you're going to be playing in front of empty crowds. Well, if you sell out Mercer and you sell out for the full season, that narrative's dead, and I think it's dead either way.
Yeah, it's huge for these recruits coming in, like you mentioned, and – as the fans have kind of picked up this season, recruiting has picked up back under Mac Brown. The momentum has been picking up a ton of steam. A lot of big-time recruits are coming to Keenan this past weekend. None bigger than Charlotte's very own from Owl Creek, Trenton Simpson, the number 2 linebacker in the country, who says he's down to Clemson, who hasn't offered him yet, and North Carolina. How impressive is it that in year 1, Mac Brown has been able to sell to these top players on his vision of what this UNC team can become?
I don't really know how to explain it beyond just incredible. This was something that, honestly, any pragmatic view, any third-party objective pragmatic view would say they're 2 to 3 years away. And then you look up, you know, 9 games into the season, and you really have a chance to sign 6 or 7 out of the top 10 in North Carolina. I mean, that is strong. And I tell you, Coach Brown's learning curve was not big at all. He knew where he had to go. He put the coaches out into the high schools, got the excitement back, got the crowds in there. And you know what? He started out with 2 big wins and been competitive in every game. And he's going to put the fence around North Carolina. And if you're a North Carolina kid, this is where you want to be. And he's preaching that. And all the other recruits are chipping in, the ones that have already committed. The guys on the team that take the time out of their day or nights after a long game, whether it's a win or loss, to bring the recruits in and tell them how great it is. There's so much that goes involved with it, from videos to social media. Everything has just been off the chart. What a great time it is, and the momentum of this program, so much fun. And as a former player, I can't thank everybody that's doing it enough. It's my number one passion in sports, and it's been incredible, and it's only going to get better.
No games this weekend, but we will still catch up next week. Deems, pleasure talking to you today, and look forward to talking next week.
Okay, man. Enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.